Hey, hi. I'm Leslie Rodriguez. I'm 25 years old. This is June 2nd, 2012. We're in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am speaking with my husband.
And I'm her husband. My name is Javier Rodriguez. I'm 26, almost 27 years old. Today is June 2nd of 2012, and we're in Nashville, Tennessee. And as you know, I'm talking to my wife, Leslie.
I almost said that I was 26. We both turn, our birthdays are both in June, so.
Very close.
Yeah. Well, so why don't you start off and say where you're from and your whole story of how you got to Nashville.
So I was born in Punta Arenas, Chile, which is in the very bottom south of Chile. It's across the Magellan Strait from Tierra del Fuego. So I grew up with penguins and eternal winter.
So jealous.
I moved away from my house when I was 12 to play tennis. I moved to Santiago, which is about 3 hours flying from Punta Arenas. And then when I turned 18, I decided to not pursue my dream of becoming a professional tennis player, but to actually use tennis as a way to study. And the best place to do that was to was the United States, to come here and play tennis in college. So eventually I got a scholarship to come to Belmont University. And that's where I met Leslie.
And I don't come from as far away. I was born in Birmingham and grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. But I do kind of think that I had to travel around the world to wind up where I am now, because I came to Nashville to go to Belmont University. And while in Nashville, I studied abroad in Santiago de Compostela in Spain, where I learned Spanish and came back to the U.S. And Javi and I both worked in the Language Learning Center at Belmont. And I don't think I ever would have worked in the Language Learning Center had I not learned Spanish in Spain.
That's right.
So that was pretty much how we met. So I had to travel around the world too, but maybe not quite as much of a traumatic experience, or not traumatic, but
no, it
dramatic.
Wasn't traumatic. It was good.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. But yeah.
So then what? Then we met. We met at the Language Learning Center, but
we didn't really meet the Language
Learning
Center.
Yeah, we just knew that we worked in the same place, but we never worked together.
Right, because it was so small, you only ever had one person working at the same time. And I really hoped that Javi would come to the end of the year party.
And I never did.
Because you went back home to Chile a day early.
Time.
So I was all dressed up and ready to go at our professor's house, and you just didn't show up.
Well, I had to go back to my family.
And then we met at a bar.
Yes. I mean, we saw each other at a bar.
Right. We saw each other at a bar, and I said, "What are you doing here?" Which is a ridiculous question, because what is anybody doing at a bar on a Saturday night? And then the rest, as they say, is history.
Right.
And we dated, let's see, we started dating in 2008, in the spring of 2008.
Yeah, for our senior year of college.
Tell the story of how we got engaged.
So.
Or maybe I should.
Well,
no, you tell it.
Well, why'd you guys care about running into each other at the language lab? What was it?
That we never, why didn't we ever run into each other there?
Why did you want to run into each other?
Oh, I always had a crush on Javi.
Well, and I knew who Leslie was, but I didn't have an image to the name. I always heard about Leslie from our boss, but I didn't know who she was.
Yeah. I know. I knew who Javi was. I really knew who Javi was. I knew who the little group of Latin Americans were that were on our campus. They were all tennis players and a couple of soccer players.
Right.
And all the girls knew who you guys were. And, I mean, for better or for worse.
Yeah. I don't think we had a very good reputation. Sadly for me.
And I always wanted to get into your all's group because I wanted to practice my language, and I thought you were really cute. And so I always hoped to run into you, so I would kind of hang around late on my shifts, but we never had overlapping shifts, so
not really.
It just never really worked out that we met in the language
learning center. Language learning center, right.
Right. Though you always used it for...
I always stay there, like, watching TV or watching soccer games or just taking advantage of the extra cable channels.
Yeah. You would go in there after the building was already closed.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so that was that. Then we pretty much, I mean, we went from, like, not really knowing each other to being in a full-fledged relationship.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, it didn't take long for us to kind of realize that it was something serious.
Yeah. And then, oh, and that was, I mean, I went to Chile with you. You went to California with me after we started dating, like, shortly after we started dating, after we graduated.
After graduation, right.
And then I went to Chile with you in December. Christmas. And I thought it was crazy that you wanted to take me to Chile with you to meet your family after we had, like, we hadn't even been dating a year. And you were, it was just so obvious. Yeah,
yeah, but, like,
with me.
We both kind of felt that it was going somewhere else, you know. I don't think it ever felt like it was just a fling.
No,
you know,
yeah.
It was just going to be a temporary thing. I think we both felt that it was serious kind of since the beginning.
Yeah. And I was so nervous meeting your parents. Just thinking about having to talk in Spanish with them.
Yeah.
And...
But when you went to visit, it felt...
Oh, so
it
easy.
Felt natural. Yeah,
yeah
it didn't. It wasn't hard.
I was just nervous, like, those minutes leading up to actually meeting them. And then it was like, I had always been there. It was awesome.
Yeah. It was, and it was the same thing for me with your family.
Oh, yeah.
It was easy, too. And then with our families, with each other, like, both families, even though they didn't speak the same language, it was like they knew each other and they were, like, best friends without even necessarily... understanding each other.
Yeah, which is funny because in-laws, you know, so many of our friends who are married, their in-laws don't get along with each other or they just aren't very close, even though they speak the same language.
Right.
And ours are, you know, they don't speak the same language and they can't communicate with each other without us, really.
Right.
I mean, they can cook together and stuff, but, and they're like best friends.
It might be something to do with the distance and some set of in-laws that they know that they can see each other anytime.
Yeah. But our dads are like attached to the hip. They're like two peas in a pod.
Yeah, that's true.
But we can get to that.
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
That story comes when we get married.
Right. So
when they met the first time.
So then, well, let's jump back to
summer of 2009.
Yeah, so at that point we have graduated and I had a student visa at the time, so kind of the rule with that is that after graduation you get a year of OPT, optional practical training, I think.
That's right, OPT.
And then for me, in order to use that year, I had to find a job as soon as possible with that. And then over that year, I couldn't be unemployed for more than 3 months. Otherwise, that permit to stay would expire.
What a mess. I forgot about OPT.
So then at that point, I was trying to, right after graduating from college, we started figuring out what could I do in case I couldn't find a job, because it was by the time where nobody could find a job.
Yeah.
You know, it was like 2008.
Yeah,
2009. No, 2008. Summer of 2008.
Yeah, 2008.
So then we said, okay, I should try to go into business school.
No, not yet, because you did the sports administration because you still had a year because you redshirted.
Oh, that's true. So I said, yeah, I did 1 year of master's in sport administration. And then after that.
That was when you had the OPT.
That's when I needed the OPT. No, well, my scholarship stopped and I had 1 more year of this master's program.
That's right.
But I didn't want to spend money and I wasn't so sure about it.
Right.
And I didn't want to have to pay for it. So then we started thinking about what could I do so it would be worth doing. And, yeah. and you know, a way to stay, because, of course, you were still doing your master's. You were still studying. And, of course, I didn't want to go back home.
Yeah. That was when you started looking at business.
Right. So then we decided, okay, we should do, you know, an MBA. And, again, our problem at that point was how we were going to pay for it. But luckily, I was able to get the graduate assistantship, and that kind of paid for a bunch of it.
Yeah, Lipscomb was good about that.
Yeah.
But then it all kind of fell into place, like, right at the same time. Because we were talking one day, and we said, well, why do you even want to try to stay? Like, what's the point of you trying to stay?
Right.
And it was to stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we were just sitting on the couch.
And at that point, we haven't heard from schools yet. Right. My applications were in, but we didn't know if I was getting it or not.
Yeah, we hadn't heard anything yet.
And so we're just sitting there. I was like, what are we going to do?
And then it was, what's the point of you even trying? And then you said, well, eventually we're going to get married, right? And then, like, 30 minutes later, we were in the car on the way to teach vacation Bible school.
Yeah.
And I looked at you and I said, does that mean that we're engaged? And you're like, well, I guess so, yeah. But then you wouldn't let me tell anybody.
Well, yeah, we didn't want to tell anybody.
Because you wanted to do a cool proposal.
I had to have my cool proposal. Otherwise, it would be too lame. Just think about it if we have to tell somebody. So how do you guys get engaged? Oh, yeah, we're just sitting on the sofa. We didn't know what to do.
We were talking about immigration and what's the point of staying in the U.S. And, well, we decided it's time to get married.
Yeah, so then we got engaged, what, like June 15th?
Yeah, June 15th we got engaged. But do you have to tell the story of how you proposed to me?
And before you tell it, can I ask, what is it about Javier that makes you know that he would have to do a cool proposal? Like, how is that part of who he is?
Oh, he has to... I don't know.
I had to find some... Yeah, I have to be slightly creative with the things that I do.
He's extremely creative. And anything mundane, it just wouldn't have fit.
Yeah, it would not be fun. It had to be fun. Sort of a game.
But
kind
not
of thing.
Like one of those super romantic, cheesy.
No, definitely not cheesy. Not romantic.
And
but yeah, I mean, it was necessary. I guess I kind of wanted to have a good story.
Which I'm glad for, because now I have a cool story.
Right, just a good memory of how we got engaged, something that we could tell people or our kids in the future, just, you know, this is how it happened.
Yeah.
So we needed to have a cool proposal. And yeah. I mean, at that point I started thinking about it, and my problem was that Leslie, of course, knew that we were engaged, so for me to make a cool proposal, I had to be completely secret. And
yeah, he had to plan something that I wasn't expecting.
Right, so it was really,
and of course,
really
I was
difficult.
Expecting it all the time.
Right, because we were kind of on a time constraint because we wanted to let people know.
Right.
So after a couple of days, Leslie actually had to travel. I don't know if you had to travel, but you went to New York to visit one of your friends. And that was perfect for me, so I could have time by myself to figure it out what to do.
Yeah.
So then my plan was, we always like to play board games.
We still do.
Well, we still do. and we always played with her parents most of the time. So I needed to use your parents to help me out with my proposal. So one day I was working at the library at the time and just trying to figure out what could I do. And for some reason, the idea of proposing using apples to apples came up, and it sounded like a really good idea and something that I didn't hear from somebody else doing. So I looked online, and they actually sold the blank cards that you could print out and just put your message or just whatever you want to write on them. So I bought a set of red cards and green cards, and actually wrote two sets, one in Spanish, one in English, so we could take pictures and then share with my family, and they would understand what what was I doing. So I think I wrote, was it the red card that I wrote, Will You Marry Me?
Yeah, that's the... No, it was the it was the green card.
The green card,
the green card is the one that you flip
right,
over.
Right. And then so I wrote two green cards that one said "Will you marry me?" and the other one said "Te casarías conmigo?" And then two red cards, one that say "Yes" with a bunch of exclamation points, and then another one that say "Sí" with a bunch of exclamation points, and had them ready for whenever you were coming back.
Yeah.
And then I talked to your parents and explained them what my plan was, and they were like, okay, yeah, we're doing it. And they got all so excited because they at that point, I think they knew, they were the only ones who knew that we were engaged, your parents and my parents, but nobody else. So the night that you returned from New York, suddenly your dad really wanted to play apples to apples.
Which I should have known right away, because we usually have to drag him into playing apples to apples because he always loses.
Right.
But he really wanted to play.
He really wanted to play. I mean, they say that they really wanted to hear from your trip. But then when we were sitting talking about your trip, your dad is like, come on, we have to play. We have to play. He was like, keep pushing and pushing the game.
And he actually went out to the trunk of the car to get it, which he would never have done that normally, but... Anyway, I was clueless, and I was looking at wedding dresses online with my mom, so I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah. So then after a couple of rounds, well, actually, you should tell this part of the story.
Yeah, so then we're playing the game, and the whole time my mom and I are planning details of the wedding, but we're, because, you know, you have time when you're playing apples to apples to chit-chat and whatever while people are deciding on which cards to choose, and so we're talking, and I think in the time that we were talking or something, you slipped the yes red card into my hand.
Into your hand, yeah.
Into my, not my, like, physical hand, but my hand of cards.
Yeah, I think your cards were
on
the just
table.
Sitting there.
And then you, like, while I wasn't paying attention, you must have put the green one on the top, and it was my turn. And so you kept telling me it was my turn. I said, okay, hold on, you know, just a second. No, Leslie, it's your turn. And so I turn around, and you flip over the card, and it said, Leslie, will you marry me? And I was completely shocked because I kind of imagined that I might look a little nicer. I would think I was in my PJs or something, and my hair was up in, like, some kind of crazy top knot. And oh, but I was so excited. Oh, I just totally flipped out. I had no idea. You really did surprise me. It was amazing. And my parents were so excited. Actually, my grandma stayed awake that night until, like, 11, which is, I mean, she usually goes to bed at 7.
Right.
And she was just waiting for it to happen. And my parents had balloons in the other room off to the side already. So if I had gone back there, I mean, I would have seen it.
Yeah.
But they had those balloons all set up.
Yeah,
and
they
had margaritas.
They went to the party store.
Yeah. And they had margaritas already made up in the fridge. So they, as soon as you proposed, they went and got the margaritas and put them on the table, and yay, celebrating. And you had the ring, and it was all resized for me. It was my grandma's ring, her wedding ring that you had resized for me. And
and then you turn your car and say, you put the red card down.
Right. I forgot to play my hand, and I hadn't looked in my red cards yet. And you were saying, you have to put something down. You have to put something down. And I said, well, what do you mean? And I looked in my cards, and I had the yes card, the yes red card. And so, obviously, I put that down.
And that was it.
And that was it. And then we called everybody. And
then it was official.
Yeah. It was a good proposal. Good story.
It had to be a surprise.
It was. It was a good surprise. And then 3 days later.
Yeah, and then at that point, we started talking with your family and trying to think about what we needed to do, because we wanted to have both of our families for our weddings.
Right.
And now the new problem that we run into was that since we were going to get married, my immigration status was going to change. And for me to get out of the country and being able to come back, I needed to have that traveling permit.
Right. And we knew we wanted to have a wedding in Chile.
Right, because we couldn't fly all my family here or all your family there, so we needed to have
two weddings.
And we knew that the travel permit was going to take a few months, and December was the time that we were both, or most people were free. So we somehow had to start working on getting that paperwork done. So the first thing that we thought is like, okay, we should go ahead and get married.
Yeah. Well, because so we I don't think you paperwork. Can apply. Yeah, you couldn't apply for the travel visa unless we were married.
Yeah. Right.
So we figured, well, we better get hitched. So I went out to J. Crew and bought like a little white sundress. Mom went out and bought me a bouquet.
We talked to your pastor who agreed to marry us.
Yeah. In the morning, we called up my pastor and explained the situation, and he said, okay, how about 3 o'clock today?
Right.
And so we went to the church. We had to have witnesses.
We sent like a mass text message and see who will answer first. Like, we need witnesses for our wedding. Who can come right now?
Yeah.
And then
Ellen and Wade
wrote back.
Yeah. Ellen got off work and came to be the videographer. And Wade was stoked.
Yeah, and he was the photographer, I think.
Yeah, Ellen was the videographer, and he was the photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he walked in front of the camera.
Yeah, he was in front of the camera at one point.
And, yeah, so we showed up that day at the church, and our pastor came out in jeans and a T-shirt and his stole.
Right.
But he didn't say a benediction, because he said that the ceremony wouldn't be over until we said the benediction at the end of the real wedding, which is in December. So technically, maybe we could go for like a Guinness World Record for the longest wedding ceremony ever.
That's
because
true.
The benediction wasn't said until
from
December.
June 17th 18th. Or 18th?
17th or 18th.
Until December 12th. So yeah. Almost 6 months.
It's a long
it's
ceremony.
A long ceremony.
And then we went to Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
To so celebrate. We had for margaritas.
Yeah, more margaritas.
Usually the drink of choice for celebration. Yeah.
So that was our first wedding.
Mm-hmm. We have pictures from it that we've never shared.
Right. Yeah, that one we kind of kept secret too.
Yeah.
We told most people that we were engaged.
Yeah, we didn't tell
anybody. Nobody knew
about that
we were actually married and that we had that little celebration. And we did it because we wanted to have proof that we got married for immigration purposes.
Yeah.
To have pictures and video and and all the...
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't have been the first choice of how we would have originally gotten married. But, we didn't want to tell anybody because we didn't want people to think, first of all, that we were getting married for immigration.
Right.
Because that's not the case. And we also didn't want people to feel like they got gypped out of our wedding, like we eloped or something.
Right.
So we just kept it secret. We never shared the photos. We never talked to our extended families about it. But it was enough to get the ball rolling on the immigration stuff. So
right,
that,
and apply for my traveling permit, which was the main thing that we needed to get done.
Which came through at the last minute.
Yeah, God.
That was close.
Yeah, we're freaking out. I actually think that I like became friends with the people at the immigration services because I will be calling and calling and talking and trying to expedite it.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, they told us that we could go to Memphis to talk to them about expediting it.
Right.
And there was no guarantee that it would actually do anything. And so we drove to Memphis just to talk about expediting it. And I don't know if it actually worked, but we had to do everything we could.
Yeah, I don't know if it helped, but we did it anyways.
And we actually got the permit maybe like 2 weeks before we left.
Yeah.
So they were planning a wedding for us in Chile that we weren't even sure that we were going to be able to make.
Right.
And we had our big wedding in Nashville in December, which I'm a winter person, so it worked out really well for me.
December 12th.
Yeah, so we had a December 12th wedding, and then a week later, we had our...
December 26th. We have a summer wedding in Chile.
Yeah, it was perfect. We got to have a winter wedding, a summer wedding. I could do my hair up and down. I never had to choose. We used the same dress. You had two different suits, though.
Right.
It was awesome.
It was good. It worked out pretty well. And, I mean, we have to also say that my immediate family came to the wedding here in Nashville. Yeah. And that's the first time that our families met.
Yeah.
And then your immediate family traveled with us to Chile.
Yeah.
And actually stayed a couple of weeks later, so we never had a honeymoon because we were with our families all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that doesn't count as a honeymoon.
Translating everything, making sure they will get to know each other in the 2 weeks that they got to spend together.
Yeah. That week leading up to our first wedding, well, our second wedding, but first big wedding, was crazy because I had finals. I was doing my finals for school. Your family, it was their first time ever coming to the U.S., first of all, and also it was their first time meeting my family,
mm-hmm.
which was insanity and awesome, but just completely crazy.
Yeah,
so
it was a lot of work because we had to talk for 10 people.
Yeah, because your sister, Maka, spoke good English, but Paula didn't yet.
Yeah.
And so it was so much translating. And it's funny because our family members would talk to each other thinking that eventually something would come through, even if they didn't have a translator for them. So, like, do you remember Warren talking to your dad about soccer?
About soccer, just trying.
just speaking in English and,
I know,
like, something
trying to pick up a few words here and there, see yeah. if they can make up something.
And, of course, my dad, he talks kind of slowly and loudly.
Thinking that that's going to make
that
it
help.
Easy to understand.
Oh, but that was definitely an adventure. We took your parents to the Opryland Hotel to see all the Christmas decorations. And
we tried to pack as many Nashville things as we could in just a couple of days.
Yeah, which was hard. We did Lola's Cafe. That was kind of our pre-rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
We did.
We went Station Inn.
We went to Broadway.
I mean, we did a bunch of things for
just a few days.
And it was right before the wedding, so we were thinking about getting other things done.
Yeah. Oh, but it was the best weekend ever, or week total.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And then we had the wedding, and all your friends did that chi-chi-chi-le-le-le for your dad, which was awesome, at the reception. And then we took a plane straight down to
Chile. Yeah, it was just a couple of days later, and we all flew back.
And there's definitely a reason why people usually just do one wedding.
Yeah.
Because that, it was intense to have two big weddings so close to each other with so much going on. I was really sick the morning of that second wedding. And I think it was just nerves. I don't know, just because I didn't know what was going on. Your sister planned the whole wedding, which was amazing.
Right.
And I had to give a toast in Spanish. Well, I didn't have to, but I did.
You wanted to.
Yeah. And it was a Catholic ceremony, whereas the one here was Presbyterian.
Right.
The one here was bilingual, but in Chile it was in Spanish, so the priest would pause every 5 or 6 sentences, and I would translate,
so you could translate to
my parents.
To your parents. Yeah, luckily here we had your aunt, who's a minister, and she speaks Spanish. So she was able to work with the pastor, Jim,
mm-hmm.
to get a copy of the ceremony and translate it, so they will go back and forth.
Yeah, throughout the whole ceremony.
Throughout the ceremony and just...
And I have cousins who are from Guatemala who would do the readings in Spanish.
Right.
And we would have readings in English. But in...
So he was easier to get it bilingual.
Oh, yeah. In Chile, it wouldn't
have been.
In Chile,
we didn't have anybody.
Yeah. So, except for me.
Right.
So during the ceremony, I translated the ceremony. So there are pictures of me leaning over to my mom and my dad sitting next to me and translating the homily.
Yeah, trying to.
Which was awesome. And then we had that wedding, and we danced for hours to cumbia music.
Uh-huh.
There was no...
No reggaeton.
No reggaeton. All cumbia. And then, we never got a honeymoon.
We never had a honeymoon because then your parents stay over New Year's. We all went to the beach and rented
oh, so
a
perfect.
Few, like, huts I wouldn't say it was a cabin.
Yeah, no.
And then just spend time with them for the couple of weeks that they stayed over. And then once they left, and we actually had one week or a week and a half by ourselves with just my family.
We didn't move off the couch.
We just sat down and didn't do anything at all.
We did not do anything. We played Wii and sat on the couch. That was the extent of kind of a honeymoon.
But it was, I mean, even though we were so tired, it was definitely great just to be able to see how your parents and my parents will interact and just talk. And
yeah, it was amazing. Your dad and my dad, they love each other. And both of our moms would spend all the time in the kitchen.
In the kitchen, kind
of my mom
exchange.
Speaks a little bit of Spanish, so they would try to communicate, but cooking kind of the universal language.
And our moms actually try to communicate with each other. Whereas, actually try to understand each other, while our parents will just start talking to each other. And then once they figure out that nobody wants translating and they needed somebody, they will call us like, Javi, Leslie, come here, we're talking. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Our dads are a mess. And they're both really religious parents, both sets of parents. And my dad is a professor of homiletics at Vanderbilt, and your dad is involved in the church. And
yeah, he even went to... how do you say it?
Seminary,
yeah.
So they would get into these deep theological conversations that Javi would have to translate, like, after
so
lunch
hard.
When you want to take a nap and you have to do all this philosophical translating and words that you would never normally use.
Right. How do I know? Yeah. How do I translate? It's just also so hard because if I didn't know how to translate exact words, I would have to try to get the idea of what they want to, say and then translate. So it was really hard.
Yeah. But we were really glad that they actually wanted to talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's been really special between our sets of parents. They get along so well. And they're actually quite similar. They have similar backgrounds. And
yeah, that's true.
Which may be why they get along so well.
Right.
And then 3 years later, now, fast forwarding to 2012, we're finally going to go on our honeymoon this summer.
Yes, finally. Taking a break without family.
Yeah. Though I don't know when the next time is that we'll be going to Chile, which is too bad.
I wish we could go more often.
We haven't been since the wedding.
Yeah, my family came to visit once last year during Christmas break.
Yeah, for a month, which was great because we had them in the U.S. for a whole, what was it, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks.
And we did everything that we couldn't do last time, which was nice to have all that extra time.
Yeah, just to have time and not to be... just stress about meeting, different deadlines or things coming up. We didn't really have a schedule.
And our grandmas got to meet.
Do things. Yeah, our grandmas got to meet each other.
Which was cool because neither of them could travel when we had the weddings.
Right.
So your grandma came for Christmas with your parents and your sisters. And that was really cool that our grandmas could meet because we didn't know that that was going to be able to happen ever.
Yeah, we were worried about that.
Yeah. And they got along famously.
And they also became pretty good friends. I mean,
we have that picture of them from New Year's with both of their New Year's hats on, and they're knitting together. That was amazing.
And they tried to exchange emails or letters, and
yeah. And my grandma actually tried to learn Spanish. She got
Rosetta Stone.
And tried to learn Spanish, and she did really well. She had you checking her homework and stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
I don't know.
They're all anxiously awaiting kids.
Yes, but that's not going to happen.
For a
anytime
while.
Soon.
Ever.
I always joke with them. Though. No. I mean, it's going to happen, but right now it wouldn't be the best.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
But that's going to be also interesting whenever we have to, you know, have kids and have both set of both families. And
yeah, it's going
to
be
trying to make sure that they get to know my side of the family, teaching them Spanish and English.
They have to be bilingual. It's not going to be one of those choices where I don't know if we're going to raise our kids bilingual, because if they aren't, they won't be able to communicate with your parents.
Right.
So.
So that's going to be another adventure, just kind of figuring out
how
to raise them and making sure that, I mean, because I know my parents would love to spend time with them, but.
Yeah. I hate that. I hate that they're so far away.
I know.
It's crazy to think that I've spent my entire life in the same city as my parents, and you have been away from your parents since you were 12 years old. That's so young.
Yeah.
And then our kids will never have the, what we were talking about yesterday, the love for soccer that.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, all the kind of Chilean things that I have that I don't think I'll be able to just teach them. It's something that you just have to experience in
growing
order to appreciate.
Growing up in Chile,
yeah.
Which they won't grow up in Chile, so.
We'll have to visit as often as we can.
We'll have to get really rich.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. Still banking on winning the lottery.
Or we're going to have to start a airline company or something. Get
free flight. I like that idea, except I hate flying.
Well, we've only got a couple more minutes. Why is it important to keep your families close?
Well, I think both of us really, one of our main values are for both of us, our main value probably is family. Even though I haven't lived with mine for most part of my life, I stay really close, and I have a great relationship with my sisters and my parents. And I mean, so do you.
We hang out with my parents more than we hang out with anybody.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine living away from my family since I've been with them for so long. And obviously, we would love to have your family closer.
Now, I'm sure if my parents were here, we would also spend most of our time hanging out with them. So
yeah.
We are the link for our family. So it's kind of our responsibility to make sure that they can stay in touch and that they become part of our children's life in the future. So
yeah.
We just put great value into it.
I can't imagine living away from my family. It's going to be very strange when I have to find a job after I finish school. Hire me, Nashville. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Anything you want to say to each other before we end?
Well, so far it's been really fun. And
we have a good Los Rodriguez life.
We try to share our lives with as many people as we can, and making sure that we keep our families involved in everything. And
go on adventures all the time.
And I think it just helps that they know that we love each other and that we stay close and that we're both so happy that they're just happy for us and happy to have a new family even though they're far away.
And not to have to worry about our happiness, because they know that we're taking care of that.
Right.
Without any problems. So, yeah.
So far, so good.
High five.